administrative planner. She is currently stuck in Dallas with weather. I think maybe her flight finally boarded about 15 minutes ago. On her way back from her Memorial Day weekend. But I've got one of our interns with us, Pratika, who's passing out last year's Taney County transportation use list. Those prioritized through our process. And then what I'm passing out is what is currently in the MoDOT STIP for Taney County. There is a Longstone County project at the top of that list. But just so you know what's already been programmed into the STIP currently. As you all should be familiar, this is the process that we go through, the transportation planning framework with MoDOT to prioritize transportation needs at the regional level and at the MoDOT district levels. So we start by putting out a survey every year to collect new transportation needs throughout our 10-county service area. Or get adjustments to existing needs that we've got on the list. So, so I believe last year at this meeting, there was quite a few updates to the list that we have for SIMCOG to better align it with the list that you all maintain. As the Transportation Advisory Board. Of course, Taney County is always unique for our region, and the fact that you all have are the only of our 10 counties that has a Transportation Advisory Board, so we appreciate you being well organized and doing continuous planning work. But the needs list that we passed out on this ledger sheet is what's going to go to our Regional Transportation Advisory Committee, or TAC. They will then see the top three road and bridge projects from each of our 10 counties and then prioritize those within our SIMCOG region. Once we have a regional transportation needs priority list, then we will go to the Southwest District level, which includes the Joplin Area Transportation Study Organization, the Regional Planning Commission over in the far southwest corner of the state, as well as another Regional Planning Commission to the northwest based in Clinton. So I believe in total it's about 27 counties that come together to form the Southwest MoDOT District, and then we reprioritize the projects across all the planning partners' jurisdictions. That then goes up to the MoDOT central office and is what populates the statewide transportation improvement program, or STIP. So it is a grassroots planning process that we have in our transportation planning framework here in Missouri. It all starts with you all. So I do not believe we had any new transportation needs added to this list this year, nor do I see any adjustments that were made in some language or any amendments made. But we just want to give you the opportunity to take a look at this list, see if it still aligns with your county priorities. Again, primarily focusing at the top three for our road and bridge list, because that's what we will take to our 10 county regional TAC. But we can adjust anything on this list to move things up or down, also adjust some language, remove something if you know that a project's already been programmed. We try to compare it with the STIP program at least a project or two. As you can see, I think the top, your top need has been consistently, I think, our top regional transportation need for improving 86 and 76 highway. I'll note that this one includes, this particular need improves the intersection actually at 86 and 65, and then also goes all the way down to the bridge. So we know we've got the widening project that's currently underway, but this includes both ends of that. And then potentially onto the airport as well.
I have a question about number one. So I know that we ultimately like to have like an interchange of 86 at 65, but in terms of 86 itself, Jones Road to that 65 intersection future interchange is widened now. And so I'm curious about then west of there, what do you all envision as the need for a phase two on 86?
I think, Frank, one thing we're trying to get at here is seeing 86 as a total project. I use Joplin a lot on the range line area. They have project after project after project that is all on that range line area, but they look at range line as a total thing. We're trying to get 86 into something like that, all the way from the airport to the Long Creek Bridge. That stretch between Jones Road and the Long Creek Bridge, a Super 2 in there, where you have some climbing lanes on the hills, and not everybody likes to hear me say this, but we need fewer at-grade accesses in there. A bunch of those subdivisions have 2 and 3 accesses going into a subdivision where they could drive a half a block and consolidate all of them into one, and then maybe make some acceleration and deceleration lanes on that piece of 86. I don't know that it serves anybody to take that Jones Road to the Long Creek Bridge and four-lane it, because the Long Creek Bridge is 2 lanes. So there's no use of wasting a bunch of money on that. But there is some safety improvements. Long Creek Road that goes to the marina and the campground, downhill, turning traffic, and then a lot of subdivision entrances there. So I would say that could be the same thing actually on the west side of the Long Creek Bridge. I think it's, is it Twin Islands is the estate? There's 2 entrances to Twin Islands there, and there's not a need for 2 entrances there. You could detour 1 block and have everybody go through one, but we used to hear a lot of testimony here at this from the Highway 86 people. But when you say, well, one of the things is there's too many small accesses onto the road, it's causing problems, they don't want to hear any of that. They don't want to do any of those kinds of things. Well, I would say if you did a traffic study there, you would see that that could help some. And then, again, some turn lanes, a select number, I think, is there. The other thing with taking the airport access, the airport someday will grow. I know that doesn't seem imminent, but it will. And getting direct highway access is going to be a lot better than the securest route that we're using right now, over a combination of different ownerships of roads going in and out of there. So the extension of 86. And again, seeing that as one traffic corridor. The other thing is, towards the goal of doing closing all the at-grade intersections from all the way down 65 to elevate the 65 corridor, I think that 86 interchange is imminent. And with the kind of traffic loads that it's starting to see now, the storage lanes and all that, it's all nice, but it isn't going to solve the problem. We need to change the at-grade intersection. And as we improve 265, and I think that's in the 25 or 26 stick, then that's even going to help 65, but it isn't going to be able to help 86.
And that helps them understand the context and what you're talking about and what that means. I mean, that we were making progress on it with the governor's cost share, but that there were still sections left. So just on the bigger picture beyond the SIMCOG process, you know, we asked SIMCOG to submit 15 to us from their region, and that gets put together 15 from the 3 other regional organizations. And so Taney County is always really competitive on your needs with that, but I'll let Jason offer his thoughts. I feel like the association, the interchange of 86, brings it down a little bit. If it were associated more 65, it would prioritize higher in the district-wide process. That's how we got that 265 improvement program.
You can name that whatever you want. So Frank, we take your word for that. Let him, Jason, figure that out and get it as high up as you can.
Well, Christian County is going to do the same thing. They get tied together, and that's a working fine argument to the Joplin folks, the Clinton folks.
So the corridor concept scores high, and we get that, and we're we're on board with that. But the real discussion there is to see that as a comprehensive project. But, and the other thing with 86 is it does have pretty significant traffic counts. And what was it? The last time was a major improvement was in the 50s. And so it still has some 10-foot sections of lanes. So they're not consistent. There's some 12-foot lanes in there, but there's some 10-foot lanes in there, too. So that's 4-inch center stripe from each other going 55 to 70, somewhere along in there, down through there. It's just not good. The other thing about some of that stuff that we see that doesn't necessarily resonate up the line is return on investment. Down in that area, the state of Missouri rakes in a lot of money. And we don't want to seem ungrateful for the kind of cooperation work that's already been done. But there's a business aspect to this, too. And sometimes we just need to see that. And the idea, a lot of people say, well, John Morris just wants the state to pay for his stuff. That's pretty disingenuous and not well informed. If you take a look at how much he's paying for and how much the CID and the TDD is paying for down there, he's made a lot of private and other than state investment there with self-taxing districts and all of that. So there's a significant amount. And just for the state of Missouri, it's just really a good investment to get some of that stuff cleaned up. And again, when we look at traffic accidents and fatalities and all that kind of stuff, I've always been uncomfortable with the idea that we have to wait till people get killed when we know ahead of time that Carlos is shaking his head because we got it out in front of the schools, too. I mean, it's the same thing. We can't do an improvement because of this, that, or the other thing until a few people get killed. Well, that seems to be kind of an arcane way of looking at things and kind of a draconian way of looking at things. We're a little smarter than that. So that little section of 86 between the improvements that have been done and the bridge, I think with a reasonable investment could be a good investment. And then if you want to look at the 86 intersection on the 65 corridor, great. I think that's good. The other, I mean, eventually we're just going to have to work on those. That Ridgedale J intersection, better than it used to be, but kind of good.
Yeah. And there's no, I mean, there's no signs of anything. You know, I definitely think it'd be a chance to get ahead of it because there's no signs of anything slowing down. Now, you know, it's just 2 years from now we'll be that much further behind it.
As testimony to the 86 bridge thing, the detour for that, and basically what my comments are going toward is a lot of these are only, there's only one access, one opportunity, one way around. The detour on the 86 bridge was 46 miles long. And I forget, but it was shocking to me. It was like $300,000 a day for people to have to use the dang. So if we don't improve these roads, it isn't like we can just reroute them around another way and it won't make any difference. These are basically one way across big lakes. So that's something else that we're dealing with.
Well, with all the improvements down Long Creek Boat Dock Road, there's that much more traffic and
absolutely
that worries me to death on that hill.
Sure.
You're on turn lane and you've got tractor trailers coming off of it.
And again, that's the only route. There isn't like you can do something else.
Yeah, I appreciate that on the 86. I wanted to kind of hear your thoughts on that because I think probably the further we go with any kind of, we'll be like, oh, it got fixed, right? Well, yeah, somewhat, but not everything.
Yeah.
So, you have to be able to explain what's left to do.
I also am a proponent for the fact that if we get on those roads and start fixing them, one little, six block stretch gets fixed,